the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon. It is Friday and we definitely have the Friday feeling here in the office today. Hopefully you do too. 51551 for your text or ray@rte.ie to join in the chat. Let me know what you're at, what you're up to. Actually, let me know if you're going on a first date this weekend. Maybe it's a walk or a socially distanced coffee. I'd love to hear from you because I want to start today. Yesterday we had our relationship experts in Alison Keating and Ray O'Neill, and then I got this email over night from a listener. Hi Catherine, I was listening to your experts on relationships yesterday. I know they're not on today's show, but maybe could you ask your listeners a question? Last year, I became single after 10 years in a relationship. I thought dating in my 40s would be better than dating in my 20s, which was the last time I was properly single. But it is the same. At the start, the men are full of enthusiasm and praise and seduction. And then after a few meetings, they go cold and vamoose. Why do they do this? Why do they give it 90 at the start and then just disappear? Thanks a million. Please don't say my name. So there you go. If you have experienced something similar or you have an opinion on that, I'd love to hear it. 51551 or ray@rte.ie, because yeah, it's not the first time we've heard it. And in fact, there is a term for that sort of behaviour. It's called ghosting. Which essentially you're chatting away to somebody online or on Bumble or on your phone. Communication is great. Channels are open and there's no indication of anything been wrong. And then all of a sudden, nothing, like silence, gone. And or vamoose, as she says it herself. And it's just a real lack of respect. I've had so many conversations with my female friends, some of them who are online at the moment, who are single, who are dating. And the feeling is that it is, and again, I know I'm generalising, but I'm only talking about the experience I have, and it's mostly with my female friends who are dating, that in their experience, what they would do if they connect with somebody and they've had chats for a couple of days or a couple of weeks and then they're just not feeling it anymore, you'd at least send a message back to go, do you know what, I've rekindled with an old flame, or I've met somebody else, or you know what, I think this has gone as far as it can, you're lovely, but thanks, but no thanks. Do you know what I mean? And I feel that we live, it's the online world and the world we live in today, we're so used to instant gratification. And I think when it comes to the whole online dating, then there's just this expectation on some people's parts that people are disposable, which is awful because it's so disrespectful. And I'd love to know your thoughts on it, or if you have experienced it, or if you're a guy and, you know, maybe it's just easier, you move on. Or a woman, you know, why, if you've no allegiance to this person, so you can just move on. I'd love to hear from you. And again, it's like any, when you're chatting to, it's so, when you're chatting to anybody who's online and it's like all the ones you want, the feelings are sort of unrequited. And then the ones you're not interested in won't leave you alone. So, you know, Murphy's Law, really. But yeah, I'd love to know your take on that. Something that made me laugh today, and I know I shouldn't really have laughed, but it is hilarious. You have got to go onto Sky News and watch this. There's a video of a tourist who snaps off the toes of a 200-year-old statue while posing for a photograph in an Italian museum. And I mean, I just have to set the scene for you. It's a room of marble, all these statues, beautiful marble statues, 200-year-old statues. And there's this beautiful naked woman and she's on a chaise lounge. Now, it's a statue, not a tourist. And this man is there in his mask. Everybody is in their mask. And he's not a slip of a thing. Let's say it like that. And he sits down on the marble and he goes to lean in and he leans on her foot for the photograph. And the wife is taking the photograph and the next thing he leans on her foot to pull himself up to stand up and the toes snap off and you can just, it's all caught on CCTV camera and you can just see him panic and he doesn't know what to do and he stands in front of it as more people walk by to try and look at the statue because he's trying to camouflage what's after happening and he's trying to, you can see it's all happening in his head and just when he gets a window and there's no one looking, he just walks off, good luck, out the door. Now, he did go back and hand himself into the police. But I mean, what would you do? And again, it just got me thinking of the mortifying and embarrassing situations that we have found ourselves in. And if there was a moment like that in your life, maybe get it off your chest now. Something that you broke, or an embarrassing situation that you found yourself in that you still have not told anyone. Let me know, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. One of the team here who shall remain nameless was house sitting for their mother-in-law and decided to do a bit of, not a bit of ironing. Now, not her ironing, their own ironing. And took the iron out and dropped it and smashed it off the tiles in the kitchen. And the tiles didn't break, but there was the iron didn't work and it was all rattly. What did they do? Wrap it all up and put it back in the cupboard again. Say nothing. So embarrassing situations. How have you managed them? How have you coped? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. In fact, I've just remembered my beautiful, glorious husband. We laugh about this because I caught him rotten. I was going away for a few days and we have these, you know, the granite steps outside the back door, and they were minging. And I just said, would you get them power washed over the next couple of days? And he said, I will. I'll get the power washer. I'll rent it in Mannions. And I said, how long will you take it to do it? And he said, actually, I don't know. And anyway, off I went, and I got a phone call the next day to say, I have done an amazing job. Wait till you see. They're fabulous. And I came back, and in fairness, the granite steps were gleaming. They were, the paving was, it was just, I couldn't get over it. It was fabulous. 4 days later, I'm there at the house, get a knock on the door, and there's an old fella at the door. And he said, well, missus, I said, how are you? And he said, did I do a good job on the steps? I said, sorry, what? And he said, I'm just back to collect the power washer. I left it under the hedge. And, we laughed. And I said, how am I going to land him in it now? Do I ring or do I wait for him to get home? So, of course, I couldn't wait, and I had to. And he just knew he was caught rotten. Anyway, get your embarrassing situations in. By the way, if you know Pádraig, if you see him, don't ever tell him I told that story on the radio. Somebody else that made me laugh today was Colm O'Regan. He tweeted in big, bold, shouty letters, where are all the scissors in the house? And it just resonated with me completely and utterly. And the thread was quite funny. People text back and said, they're out on a date with the socks, or they're beside the equally elusive phone chargers. I mean, what is it with phone chargers in the house? They are constantly being robbed. Phone chargers, I would say, they're the cause of, they're going to be the cause of World War III in our house. So I'd love to know, what are the missing culprits in your house? You know, I put a photograph on Instagram up today of the drawer. You know, everyone has the drawer in the house, which has all manner of crap, but you can always find what you need in the drawer. And I was looking for a biro today. And do you think I could find it? I couldn't find a biro anywhere. I had to drive to RTE before I found a biro today. Honest to God. Anyway, I know it's Friday. I know we're all in good form. I know we're all looking forward to the weekend. But even more reason, actually, why I wanted to read this email that came in last night as well. Dear Catherine, I want to talk about masks. I take the bus to and from work every day, and I'm really worried. The number of people who put on masks that don't ever cover their noses or pull down the masks as soon as they sit down in their seats, it's shocking. I don't know if people realise that a mask must cover both their nose and mouth to be effective. It will do no good wearing a mask around your chin. In the last week or so, the case numbers have been scary. One day soon, I, like so many others, would really like to go to a pub with friends. We all miss our own lives. The best way for us to get back on track is to wear our masks correctly. Please, we're all in this together. Wear your mask properly. And that comes in from a concerned listener. And I'm just going to leave it with you because I have, you know, yesterday, again, watching people with the noses sticking out over the masks. And it's kind of baffling, but we're seeing it everywhere. Anyway, please wear the mask correctly. Please stay safe this weekend. And let's just leave it there. OK, let's get some music. This is one of my favourite bands that I came across in the last year. This is called Forgive Me Friend, and this is Smith and Thell. Love that. That is Smith and Thell. Great band, great tune. We were talking about dating and specifically about ghosting a little bit earlier. I'm a guy and women ghost me all the time. This woman has articulated what happens to me with every man I meet online. It's by no means, Catherine, just men who treat people as disposable online dating apps. It's norm for women to do it too. Absolutely. And, you know, I suppose just my experience, I've got more female friends. But then somebody else says here, it's not always the man's fault that he ghosts. Some women are so desperate for a relationship that they overwhelm their emotions. And that is my experience as a male. I know, but even if you do feel that they are overwhelming you with their emotions, it at least deserves an explanation, a conversation, albeit a short one, for both men and women. You know, I just think that just comes down to respect. It's not unusual, Catherine, says Jenny in Galway. Frankly, I think it's best to get off all of these social media sites and meet face to face. By the way, women do it too. Yes, but I don't think, Jenny, that it is realistic that we can get off social media sites now and meet face to face. And online dating is just the way it's done. And especially now in these times of COVID, the way people are having to live a new norm. You know, I think it is a social media site. And I'm all for Bumble and I'm all for the dating sites. It's just we have to be as mindful as we would be in person as we are online. We live in a disposable culture that includes humans, says somebody else. Sean here, as regards your listener who sent in that email, I call that the 6 week. Basically, they just want to have a bit of fun without any of the commitment. And then we were talking about lost things. The right lid for the Tupperware is always elusive, says Anne. Oh my God, you're completely right. Is it only Irish people that keep saying this? Don't be using the good scissors for that. That brings me back to my childhood for sure. I broke my husband's shower faucet and never owned up to it. There you go. You must feel great to get that off your chest now. Lots more coming in. I agree with the listener. The problem is, this is in relation to masks. The problem is I have yet to see any spot checks on public transport. Why don't they cover their noses? The nose is a vulnerable point of entry for COVID. And then I might try and get to a quick one. Yes, as a man, I have a similar experience. This is back to dating. I have a similar experience recently. I had a first date a few weeks ago, all very positive. Second date and a third date all went well. And we had arranged to meet again, but there were technical issues that caused the date to be deferred and then the third date called off due to a clash of events. I kept in contact, but the communication changed from enthusiastic to laboured. So look, yeah, there are all sorts of reasons why it might fizzle out. And I think it's just putting it out there that disappearing off the face of the planet is not the way to handle it. Anyway, keep them coming in, 51551 or ray@rte.ie.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I am looking at the most glorious, wonderful photo which accompanied an email that came into the show this morning, and I'll just read it out to you. Hi Catherine, I just had to send you a photo of my 97-year-old mother doing her hula dance at the Hawaiian Day in Havenwood Residential Home, Waterford, yesterday. After a very tough time the past few months cocooning and not seeing any of her family, it is heartening to see her beautiful smile and glint in her eye. I got to visit her the day before after not seeing her for 4 months. Isn't it a fantastic photo? I am so proud of her. Kindest regards, Izzy Foley Kennedy. Izzy Foley Kennedy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Catherine. Thank you so much.
It is the most glorious photograph. She is sitting in her chair. She's got her lei around her neck. She's got a flower in her hair and she's hula dancing, sitting down. And the smile, Izzy, says it all.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Yeah. Tell me about your mom, Rita.
Rita is, as I said, she's 97. And she'd be 98 at Christmas, please God. And she was telling us the other day that she's looking forward to the cheque from Michael D.
She's hanging on.
Yeah. She's a fantastic woman. She was living alone up until February.
Okay.
And we had to make the very, very hard decision, you know, the family, that, you know, she could no longer, you know, it wasn't, you know, feasible for her to be there at night time. So Havenwood is such a very beautiful and popular place. a waiting list, you could imagine. So she got a bed and it was, you know, whatever. So she said she'd go in for a week.
And did she go in? Okay. Did she go in very reluctantly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because they're leaving their home after so many years. And then COVID arrives and, you know, so it was very tough. But, Mama's got, there's six children. She has 17 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and one on the way.
Wow.
And one of those grandchildren, Catherine, is married to Keith Barry.
Ah, for God's sake. Right.
Married.
Wow. Yeah, I know Mairead. I know Mairead. Yeah.
You know Mairead. Yes.
So listen, she has a huge family. And
Yes, big family.
Yeah, and Keith is from Waterford. And am I right in saying Waterford were one of the first counties, or were the first county, to shut the nursing homes to visitors?
Right. That's right. I remember going back in March. I should have checked it. I think it's Thursday, the 4th of March or whatever. And I remember giving her a hug and saying, goodbye, ma'am, you know, see you tomorrow. And I arrived up at 2 o'clock the next day and it was shut.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you only got to see her for the first time 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
What was that like?
Yes, I went with my other brother because he opened up the second phase. And it was emotional. But you know Irish mothers and their sons, so all focus was on my brother. And she told me that I needed to get my hair cut and lose weight. So she's very sharp. Yeah.
Oh, stop the lights.
Yeah.
after 4 months, that's what you get.
That's what I get.
Oh God.
But I rang her every single day, sometimes twice a day. But some parts were very, very tough because she couldn't, you know, it was very hard for them to, they were stuck in their rooms and it was very hard for them to understand why we weren't going to meet, why weren't we going to visit her. It was very tough. It was very tough.
We got through it. And had you done any FaceTime or anything like that?
Well, now there was this, a time that you could go up and talk to her through the window. They could come down, but she didn't like that. She was too upset over it.
Well,
you know?
Funny you should say that. I was actually down in Dingle and I stopped in to see my great aunt, myself and my mom, and she's in a nursing home down there. She's a wonderful woman, absolutely brilliant woman. And we, again, did it through the window.
Yeah.
And the nurses, one of the nurses came out to show us where to go. And again, I just have to say, the staff in the nursing homes, I mean, they are unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And again, Ita wasn't sure about us coming to the window. And it's such an odd experience.
It is.
But she, by the end of it, I mean, we were all delighted. We were thrilled to bits to see her and, you know, albeit we're trying to sign language through the window and shouted, and she was trying to turn up her hearing aids and the whole thing. But the staff are incredible because they have had to become like family.
Oh, absolutely. But even before COVID, can I give a big shout out, actually?
Do, of course.
Because I spoke to Padraig Dolan this morning just to verify that it was okay for me to go on and speak about them, and he has them all in the room, I hope, listening. So a shout out to all the residents of Havenwood and especially all the care workers and the nurses. They're fantastic. Mm. They are absolutely brilliant.
And where did the idea for the Hawaiian Day come in?
I'd love to. They have different theme nights, different theme days.
Yeah.
And I just give you a laugh. Whenever I always ask Mam, like, what does she need? Does she need anything? And she loves her clothes, she loves her makeup, so you'd be dropping stuff up, but you bring it in just inside the door. You have to leave it there because they keep it for 72 hours before they give it to them. But I went up one day and there was a big crate of wine there, bottles of wine. So I thought that's fantastic. You know, they have different days, maybe an Italian day or, you know, just all, they do great things with them. And isn't it wonderful to know that our old folk are not forgotten about. They still have their sense of humour. And also, Mam gets the Sunday paper. Maybe on a Tuesday she would get it. She gets the local Waterford News and Star. And she gets Ireland's Own. You know, we set it up that it comes to her. And the staff are so intrigued by her that she knows everything that's going on. She knows she's up to date with all the news, you know. So,
yeah. Well,
you know,
listen,
it's
wonderful. And thank you for sending it in because, again, you know, it is a reminder of really we are all in this together.
Yes.
We need to protect, yes, everybody who's out, but our nursing homes as well, all our elderly people, you know, because It is such a difficult time, and it has been such a long four months. You only got to see her yesterday. So we need to be vigilant and we need to be mindful. But look, that smile on her face in this photograph has made my day when I got in this morning.
Thank you, Catherine.
Listen, whoever is in the nursing home, if you can give her a squeeze for us, do. And a big shout out to everybody in Havenwood, all the residents in particular, and also to the staff as well. And Izzy, thanks a million. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a million.
Okay.
Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you can keep your texts coming into 51551 or your emails to ray@rte.ie. I am delighted to be joined now by a family from Galway who spent the last 14 months at sea. The Quinlan Owens family from Kinvara took a year out on a boat travelling the Atlantic Circuit, and they are finally home on dry land. Only got back as of from Monday, you guys were telling me outside. They are Mom Vera, Dad Peter, daughter Lillian and son Rory. It's great to have you all in. And just to kind of explain, I have Mom Vera and Lillian in front of me, and next door in another studio, just so we can adhere to social distancing, I have Dad Peter and son Rory. So can you hear me, lads?
Yeah.
This is odd, but we'll get there. No offence, lads. I'm going to start with the women because they're sitting in front of me. It's great to see you and welcome home, Vera.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Thank you. It's great to be back. It's slightly different, but it's great to be back.
Sit in a little bit to the mic there.
I will, yeah.
So tell me about the family. You're a Galway clan. You're a scientist.
I am. I'm a marine scientist in the Marine Institute there in Galway Bay.
Okay.
And Peter there is in the university. He's also a scientist, not in the marine scape, but I'll let him maybe tell you about that. And so we've been living in Kinvara since 2005.
Yes,
okay. And the kids are born there. And so we were, I suppose, normal family, do you know? But always interested in sailing. The kids will have done sailing in Galway Bay Sailing Club. They've been, you know, in Optimists and Lasers and Toppers and that, you know, as they were growing up, well, from the age of seven, really.
Okay.
As I did as a child.
Lillian, what age are you now?
12.
You're 12. And Rory, what age are you?
10.
Okay. So, bit of sailing. Well, first of all, before we get into the boat and how this all came about, how did you and Peter first meet?
Well, we actually met through climbing. I had a background in sailing, and my parents had a boat on Loch Derg, and we used to go out the River Shannon through Ardna Croche and go up the west coast of Ireland or to Scotland or France. But then life goes on, and I went to university, and then I really got into climbing and mountaineering, and really that's how we met, Peter, isn't it?
So did she get you into the sailing, Peter?
Absolutely, yes. We met through mountaineering, did a load of different mountaineering trips together, lots of good experience in times in the hills, and we were looking to go on previously we were looking to do a trip at some stage, and I'd met some of Vera's family beforehand up in Malahide, and it was on a stormy night when I met her dad and his wife Kay on their boat, and they're about to do a transatlantic as well, and I just saw this and I saw the possibilities, what you could do in a sailing boat. They were just going to head off, and I just looked at this and went, okay, this is something we could do and something we could work on. And when we got married, we put together a plan where we took off for a similar time and did a transatlantic back in 2004 to 2005.
So let me get this right. As a newly married couple, you decided to cross the Atlantic together alone on a boat.
Well, I had always wanted to do it, Catherine. I suppose it was always kind of one of those things I really wanted to do. And I knew Peter from the mountains, and I knew how adventurous he was, and so really I just kind of we sailed out of Galway Bay and pretty really cut his teeth on that trip, and then we came back,
because I'd say, you know, they say you never really know someone until you live with them. I'd say you never really know someone until you're in a boat crossing the Atlantic.
There were some times it must have been.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So then we came back and we had a family with two wonderful children. And really, I suppose, 2017, 18, you know yourself, you're bringing up small kids, you have a full-time job. There was OK, we're west of Ireland. But there's still the rat race, there's still the stresses and the, you know, I just thought it was all so hectic. And I wanted time out. And that was the whole idea of the trip, I suppose, was to spend time with the family, with all of us together. I really felt it would do us an awful lot of good. Spend time and let's go and do something as a family. Let's go and have an adventure. And that's how it started.
And Peter, yeah. Were you the same? Like, did you have that same sort of desire as Vera?
Absolutely. As I said, like, you know, when I first got onto a long distance sailing boat, I realised the possibilities of going to places which are a bit challenging, out of the way, somewhere that is just it gives you this great sense of achievement when you approach somewhere from the sea. Mm. And I realised that after a couple of early trips. And
And I suppose having done it once before, the two of you together, you cross the Atlantic. That sort of takes some degree of fear out of it, because you've got beautiful kids, Lillian and Rory. And so, Lillian, when they came to you with this idea, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was really cool and was all in for it, really.
Was the first thing you said, does that mean no school for a year?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, pretty much. Rory, what about you?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And we took out the map and they said, where do you want to go? And we picked out like some of the few places with the Amazon, the Caribbean, and like Africa and Morocco.
We picked out the big Atlantic chart, and we said, okay, we have to sail with the winds, Catherine. We have to sail the old trade wind route. Okay, so there's a certain way you go across the Atlantic.
Okay,
like you're not in the Caribbean now, for example. All the hurricanes are starting.
Yeah.
You must cross the southern Atlantic route, say from the Cape Verdes to French Guiana or South America. There, you must do that around December or January. So certain times of the year that you adhere to. So we kind of said, look, this is the general route. What do you think? Where will we go? And so they were shouting, oh, let's go to the Amazon. Woohoo. Let's go and go to the Sahara and ride camels. So I wanted to take those ideas and work them into the trip as well, you know. And it was all part of the education and, you know, the schooling as well. And obviously I didn't want to be a teacher for the year. That wasn't the idea.
You had decided you weren't going to homeschool from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We pretty much did. We had a discussion and with the teachers, and we said we're going to just do the maths curriculum with them, and they'll write a diary, and then we're going to do all these other. We did a science project. I mentioned I'm a marine scientist. We took an Argo float from the Marine Institute, and we deployed it mid-Atlantic.
And it measures temperature and salinity.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's right.
Rory. Yeah, well done. It measures temperature and salinity. And it goes down to what depth, Rory?
2,000 metres.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it lasts for 4 years. And we took it into the school. So all their classmates signed it. And that's now deployed in the mid-Atlantic. And sending, for 4 years, it'll be sending data back to the Marine Institute. And that data will be used for climate change. So we did a big project around that. So we did projects like this along
Amazing.
The way, and that was how we approached the schooling.
Amazing. And can I go back to you, Peter, because a trip like this just doesn't happen, you know, because you have a bad day at work and you go, we're going sailing around the world. Like, this takes planning and it takes a lot of time and it takes
sure does.
You just put your hands up there very, you said 10 years.
Nearly
10 years to plan it.
Yeah.
Stop
but,
it.
But pretty much. Sorry, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose we've been thinking about this since, you know, in a previous trip, we met a lot of people sailing with kids, and we just were sort of amazed by the kids we met out on these trips and with their parents, and we were impressed by their sense of the world and, you know, how they would interact with people. And so we kind of thought, well, God, if we did this as a family sometime in the future. So we bought a boat on a bit of a shoestring budget, brought her from Faro, sailed her back home, and spent 2 years in Galway, in the yard in Galway, on a refit.
So that was 2008 to 2010. And it just take literally, Peter, you know, we'd cut the boat open and take the engine out. And Peter did a
huge amount.
You
did all that yourself.
Well, a project like this only works when, you know, we only had a small budget, so had to do nearly 99% of the work myself. It couldn't have worked if we had to pay people to help.
So essentially over 10 years when you had enough money saved up, you'd put it into the boat and then you'd save again and put it into the boat.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And luckily we're in jobs where we can take a leave of absence. So we now have jobs to come back to, which is fantastic. Yep. And that's the beauty of I suppose, working for the government. It's one of the advantages. Sure. So that really enabled the whole thing. You know, there are a very, very minority of people who are able to maybe go out and spend 300,000 or 400,000 on a yacht and sail off. But
that wasn't.
No. But
how big is the boat?
She's 43 foot. She's a 43 foot steel catch. And again, we wanted steel. I wanted something safe. And she's a very reputable design. She's a Bruce Roberts. So there are some designs there that you would kind of, you know, go for. And again, with the background, I kind of knew what to look for. And she's a center cockpit. It's nice and safe and deep, and you can harness on in a big sea. And, you know, so there was a lot of things that we were looking for. And so that's what we found and that's what we saw. Now, she was in bad nick, like we said, but with a bit of hard work, a lot of hard work, we got her to you know, put new electronics on. And then we were ready. We were ready to go.
And what was it like sailing out of Galway?
It was incredible.
It was a great experience.
It was absolutely incredible. Such a release, Catherine. We put so much into it. And we sailed out of Galway Bay in a northerly wind on the 14th of June, 2019. And we turned left.
You see, I'm getting goosebumps now because this is the type of thing that I think most of us dream of, you think of, you say you'll do it.
Yeah.
And most of us don't do it. But you need to.
You can just go out and you know, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. You really can. Whatever it happens to be, not everyone can get a boat and have those skills. And those skills do take a time to build up. But you know, no matter what it is, it could be you know, taking a camper van going across Europe. It could be anything, you know.
With enough planning and enough dedication and enough time, because you know, people kind of think and it is an expensive sport and all of that, but this took you 10 years.
So
you turned left out of Galway. What was the route?
So we turned left and like I said, it was a trade wind route, so it's always the way down the west coast to Europe. We went to all the way down to Morocco, and then we went across the Atlantic. So again, I said we had a few different things we wanted to do along the way. So we sailed into Rabat. Peter, that was just incredible, wasn't it?
It was one of our highlights. We actually left the Portuguese coast, and you're sort of leaving Europe and then going over a two night passage, I think, and arriving in Rabat. You enter over the bar in Rabat, you're brought in by this pilot boat, and you've got this ancient citadel above you on the right hand side. There's people rowing ferries across your bow as you're coming up the Bourdigueg River. Into this a town called Salé, between on either side of the river, and it's again a town which is could be the same, hasn't changed
in
thousands
of years.
It was like
sailing into a town or a city from like 700-800 years ago. It was just incredible. And from there, then we left the boat for 3 weeks there. But as I said, the kids had said they wanted to ride camels in the Sahara, so we got two mules and we got three Moroccan guys to come with us. So we were a party of seven. We headed up into the Moroccan mountains and we walked for 7 days from north to south to get to the Sahara. I think you wanted to say a little bit about this, Rory, did you?
Yeah. So we walked like north to south across the Atlas Mountains. Mm-hmm. And as Molly said, we had two mule herders and a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went north to south, and when we got south, we went to Sahara Desert for 2 days and we went riding on camels.
What was the best part about that?
About
riding the camels.
About getting up before sunrise and looking at and going in the camels to go up on the highest dune and look at the sunrise.
Wow.
And the sandstorm.
Did you take loads of photos?
Yeah.
Good.
And on the way back, we got caught in a sandstorm.
Oh my gosh. I actually wanted to ask you, what was, because you at one point on the boat trip, I'm conscious of time.
Yeah.
You sailed for day and night on part of the trip. What was the worst weather, or did you have any hairy moments crossing the Atlantic?
So so there was lots of like longer journeys. I suppose we went from Morocco then across to French Guiana, and that's an ocean passage of about 13 days. The longest passage would have been from Antigua to the Azores. It was 25 days. However, we didn't really encounter huge weather on any of those, but Azores and approaching Ireland, Catherine, I have to say, the 2 days departure from Ireland, say, down to the Scillies, that was, you know, the first stop, and the approach to Ireland, the 4 day approach kind of into Ireland, four of those 10 days, now they were full on, and we had North Atlantic systems coming across, but you expect that, and you know, and at one point we had to hove to, what's called hoving to, where you essentially stop the boat, you bring the sails down, because it becomes too dangerous to be on deck. Mm. And obviously when we're deck, we're harnessed in. But it just
And you all
became,
have to work as a team. I mean, I know it's a big boat, it's a heavy boat, but it requires like you and Peter Vera obviously doing most of the work, and the guys then having their jobs with ropes and boys and all that.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you quickly, where did you spend lockdown?
So lockdown hit us in, I suppose, in Antigua. Yeah, and we went to Barbuda, which is just 30 miles to the north of Antigua. And that, Catherine, that became certainly one of my highlights. Initially, we were devastated. We were like, oh, no, we've got to, that's it. You know, we have to stop. We were told by the government, that's it. Put your anchor down for 5 weeks and that's it. You're not going anywhere. And, we actually thought it was 2 weeks, but it ended up being 5 weeks. Mm. But we sailed into this area. It was pristine coral reef all around us.
Like, we had to navigate through the coral reefs and it was, like, crystal clear. And our anchor didn't move, like, for the first time on the whole trip for about 5 weeks.
Actually, the water was so clear you could see the anchor from the bow of the boat 30 metres away in the sand.
And in the coral reefs, we went snorkelling with like sharks, stingrays, turtles, and eagle rays.
Yeah.
And we made a film about it.
Made
it underwater. Yeah. That was another little
You're
project
making
we
me
did.
Jealous, Rory. That's like the best lockdown story I've heard since March. and did you meet anybody on the island, or was there other sailors there, Lillian?
There is how many boats? Was
eight
there?
Boats.
There was eight boats
with us.
And met a few friends, and there was a British boat, and they had an oppie, so we went sailing on that.
Little Optimus sailing dinghy.
And how did you manage with food and getting food on board if you're stuck in the one place for that long?
Yeah, so that was obviously a big and we knew this was coming. We had a little bit of a heads up. We knew what was going on in China, and we had been kind of watching it. So we in Antigua, we had loaded the boat with food because we didn't know what was going to happen and what was going to be requested of us. So we had a lot of food on board, but water, Catherine, is the main problem. We don't have a water maker. So, but the other larger boats had water makers, so they gave us water. And then the locals were absolutely amazing. They came out in fishing boats after about 10 days and said, hey guys, do you want any fresh fruit and vegetables? And we weren't allowed to visit the town. We weren't allowed to go near the main town. So they brought all the fresh fruit and vegetables out in crates to us, and we left money under rocks. And that's how we lived for 5 weeks. And I'll take that with me forever. It's just incredible.
What an incredible adventure. What an amazing adventure. Lads, Lillian, are you looking forward to getting back to school when they open?
Looking forward to seeing your friends.
There's ups and downs.
Starting secondary school,
totally,
aren't you?
Yeah. Totally.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming in and chatting, because I know it's been busy and you had a big welcome on the pier.
We did.
And I know you're just back and you just want to chill and get into the house and close the door. I'd say, though, you'd be running out of it after a week.
I think so.
But there's more. If anyone wants to hear about your adventure, more on Seascapes at 10:30 p.m. on RTE
That's
Radio
right.
1.
Yes.
And a text that came in here to the Canvara family, feeling so proud and yet very inadequate listening to your guests. I'm sitting in my kitchen in Canvara with only the laundry to look forward to. Well done to them. Listen, thank you so much, Vera, Peter, Rory and Lillian. Thanks a million for coming in, and enjoy the weekend.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we don't get to say this very often these days, but we have live music today from Alton Conlon. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Catherine. Thanks so much for having me in. It's great to be out of the house.
I know. Yeah. Well, listen, we were chatting away to the family there, so we rushed you in, we washed everything down, and you're plugging yourself in there.
Yes.
So, as I said, great to have live music in studio today. But you have a real live gig coming up very soon.
I do.
Tell me about it.
This week in the Workman's Club. It was rescheduled from May 22nd, which was my album launch. So we're having it now at a socially distanced, kind of broken down crowd. So it's just a 50 capacity, and I'd be playing solo instead of bringing my band. So just everything's kind of downsized. And
is that something to look forward to, or, you know, because it's a very different way.
I'll be honest.
Couldn't have imagined it 6 months ago. Are you just like delighted to be anywhere on stage in front of people?
Or? Of course I am, yeah. But I'm apprehensive as well because it's uncharted territory, and I'm concerned. I want everybody to be safe and have a good time at the same time as well.
Sure.
So, it is dipping the toe in the water. But I mean, with 50 people there socially distanced and the Workman's Club are really going about making it safe, then I am looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It'll be great.
Tell me, because you brought out your album, you said, during lockdown.
Yeah, April 17th. Yeah. The middle of March, I just put my head in my hands and said, what's going to happen? It'll be a non-event. But weirdly enough, like the first day of lockdown, I just went on my social media channels like Facebook and Instagram, and I stepped outside of my comfort zone. I spoke to people and I played a song every day, and it really worked. Mm. I ended up selling a lot of records from home.
Brilliant.
CDs.
And the reaction has been great.
Yeah, and like great reviews on the press and the radio are very supportive. But the main thing was selling CDs and vinyl from home. That's what gave me the lift every day. Like going to the post office and making some money from it, like, you know. And
because it's just been such a hard, difficult time for musicians, you know. And there's a lot of musicians out there going, you know, they have to stay optimistic. They have to stay creative. But it just gets... You know, it just gets harder and harder as the news comes in, doesn't it?
It does. And at the beginning, it was kind of easy to do that song every day for a couple of months. But there's only so much of that you can do as well. Mm. You need to get out then and gig and do other stuff. Like I kind of
got to earn a living.
Well, that too. And I sat in every corner of my house to do a different video, just to have a different backdrop. And you're like, where can you go? Where can you go to, you know?
Yeah.
So it is. What's down the road is kind of worrying for sure. Like what lies ahead.
But listen, today is a good day. It's
yes,
Friday.
It
we're going to stay positive. What are you going to do first for us?
I'm going to do a song from the record called Don't Let Love Slip Away.
Fab. Off you go.
Thank you. It's written in the stars above. Lit up there by the moon. It takes us to a higher ground, above a world we know. Just how it feels to be alone, I reach out for you, but we both turn away. Was there something one or both of us forgot to say? Come here and tell me now, for we must not let this stray. Don't let love slip away. Don't let love slip away. There's a fire in these hearts, my dear. Tears are long since cried. But it all just keeps me wondering, a little dead inside. Not knowing how to make this right, I reach out for you, but we both turn away. Was there something one or both of us forgot to say? Come here and tell me now, for we must not let this stray. And let love slip away. Don't let love slip away. Don't let love slip away.
slip away. Don't let love slip away. I reach out for you, but we both turn away. Was there something one or both of us forgot to say? Come here and tell me now, for we must not let this stray. Don't let love slip away. Don't let love slip away. Don't let love. Don't let love slip away. Don't let love get away.
Beautiful. That is Ultan Conlon, Don't Let Love Slip Away. And that's from his new album, There's a Waltz. And you are going to stick around
yes.
and join me a little later on. Happy days. Thanks a million.
Thanks so much, Catherine. Thank you.
Lots of texts coming in for our sailing family. They, where is this one here? Huge congratulations to that family on what sounds like a fantastic trip. That is the best education those children will get. I could not agree more. You know, in terms of homeschooling, it doesn't get better than that. We were talking about ghosting earlier on as well. Hi, Catherine. In relation to ghosting, it's everywhere now. 1 year of dating somebody and out of nowhere, I was ghosted for no reason at all, deleted off all social media channels. People really need to consider how this affects the person left behind. Do the honest thing and have a conversation. And that's all anyone deserves, isn't it? We were talking about breaking things after I saw that poor tourist who broke the toes off a 200-year-old statue in an Italian museum. And somebody has texted in, I went to a museum with my parents as a 12-year-old. I walked up to a statue, grabbed his hand, and two of his fingers fell off. So I placed them under the robe and the coat and walked off. That happened in the late 70s. Somebody else, I was a teenager. I babysat for the new neighbours for the first time. I stood on the toilet seat in the bathroom so I could have a look at myself in the mirror and broke the seat. Absolutely, completely mortified. Catherine, I once borrowed a neighbour's deck chair when they were away. The older fold-up type, the candy stripe canvas. I sat on it for a while and then the fabric ripped. So I decided to repair it and with a hammer, refix the fabric to the frame, popped it back over the neighbour's wall and said nothing at all. You see, if you can find a solution, maybe there's no reason to say anything. Anyway, keep them coming in. Now, normally at this time of the year, thousands and thousands of music lovers would be coming together to celebrate Irish traditional music at the annual Fla Ceoil na hÉireann, which was supposed to be held in Mullingar this month. So let's get a taste of what we would have had. There you go. Great to hear it. And like everybody else and everything else, people have had to adapt. And due to COVID, the Fla has moved mostly online and onto the TV screens. Fla 2020 is a socially distant and virtual gathering of Irish traditional musicians from around the world, airing over four nights on TG Cahir. I was looking at him last night on the box. One of the presenters is Dahi O'Shea. Conas a tatu, sir.
Ah, oh, Catherine, come as tanto.
They're
all talking about you. They're all talking about you in Dingle and causing big traffic jams down there, by the way.
It wasn't one of my finer moments, Dahi. I won't lie.
I thought they were going to get a Kayleigh Benn to play you around the town.
No, I had to go into hiding for a couple of hours until my face calmed down. I was so red. And actually, I spent a bit of time out by your neck of the woods, out in Fionnach. I met Muirish out in the Boher pub.
Oh, jeez, you're only about 3 fields and a river away from me.
Yeah. And I found out I had a big family connection to that neck of the woods out in Cuas, which I didn't know before. Anyway, that's for a pint at another time.
Oh, God.
Yeah. How are you keeping?
I've been great from altogether. Do you know, I've been busy enough, thankfully enough. We had a good run with the Today Show that brought us into the middle of June, and then had a few weeks off, and then I was sent off doing another few programmes. Then we were in Mullingar, as you mentioned there, the week before last for our virtual flat.
Yeah, I looked at it last night and I said, fair play to you, because you really did get a sense of really people trying to do some sort of meeting with social distancing in place and live music. I mean, I've just had Ulton here in the studio with me and it's nothing like getting in front of live music.
Do you know what? I just even chatting to the different musicians and dancers and singers, they were so happy, first of all, to be playing together because they hadn't played together in 4 or 5 months. And then to actually be able to eyeball somebody and to chat about music and tunes and so on and so forth. But I'd often watch, say, the coverage of the Flat Hill, be it on TG Car or RTE. And what always gets me, how do they get the whole Cayley band up on stage, right? Now, I thought that was a mean feat, but to do that with everybody being 2 metres apart was even a bigger challenge again. But we managed to do it. And, you know, everybody was just so happy because we were all worried going into it, how is this going to work? But on-site, it's very important to let people know that we had 2 COVID officers, 1 at each door. Everybody was wearing masks. Everybody was 2 metres apart, unless, of course, they're from the same family. My co-presenter and I were always 2 metres away from each other as well. And you know what? We could do it. And there was a great sense of celebration that just we had that small bit of normality in this very, very unusual circumstance we're in at the moment. And just to have it, and you know, we loved it for 4 nights in a row.
And it was, like I have to say, just even I know from filming, it is strange when you're talking to people from 2 metres away and having the Cayley band all separated out. But watching it, you know, you could feel there was a sense of energy in the room, like watching it last night on the box. And I just think fair play, because obviously we were talking about it during the week. The Fla was supposed to be in Mullingar. So you recorded that TV show in Mullingar, did you?
We did. And you know what? It was just a nice touch to go to Mullingar where the Fla was supposed to be, because just chatting to some local people that catch up, they were so excited. My God, they've been waiting for this for so long to get the Fla back to Mullingar. And even just chatting to people on the street, they were really, really excited about it, but they were so disappointed when all this didn't happen. Now, I do believe the Fla's back there again next year. But to get everybody to come to Mullingar, I suppose, just give everybody a taste as well. And we were putting a shout out as well during the show. Look, people come from all around the world to be at Fla Hill and the Héireann. So they were tapping in, and I know we had a couple of hashtags and so on and so forth. But there was people contacting me last night from Japan and from Australia and from Canada who would have been here for the Fla Hill. And they were, I suppose, even though they don't have a Fla Hill this year, they were delighted that there was live music coming from the place the Fla was supposed to be on. But look, even going around Mullingar, you know what it's like to be at the Fla Hill, catching in different places. Mullingar is made for the Fla Hill, the great centre of the town there, and you'd have sessions in every corner.
I know, and God, like, please God, it'll happen sometime in the future, and that's what we're all going, you know, when will that happen again? When can we go back to have an event like the Fla Hill and the Héireann, which is every pub, every street corner in Mullingar, every square, and crowds of people enjoying themselves. But listen, you're doing a great job, I have to say, the virtual Fla and the TV show, which is on for the next 3 nights as well. Come here, normally at this time of the year, you're knee deep in the Rose of Tralee. I better be careful how I phrase that.
Yes, Catherine, I would. But, you know, yeah, it's very, very strange. Again, we were down in Tralee last week, Catherine. We were shooting a kind of a documentary style looking back at the last 10 years of the Rose of Tralee, which would be going out at the end of the month on RTE1. And again, Tralee, very, very like Mullingar. You know, people in Tralee really can't wait for the festival to happen every year. Like I said, we were disappointed, obviously, as a production team that it wasn't happening this year. But when you look at the bigger picture, you have the whole town of Tralee, all the businesses in Tralee, and all the villages and towns all around Tralee, and the Rose of Tralee really is the time for the town of Tralee itself to shine. And you know, everybody was feeling it down there. But in saying that, we had lots of families down on holidays for the past few weeks as well, and there was a nice buzz around the town as well, which is great, which is really, really great to see. But yeah, very, very strange. No Rose of Tralee, just as big as the Fla in its own right as well.
I know. And come here, how for you in overall for Rita and the kids, how was lockdown for you?
Well, to be honest, like, as you know yourself, Catherine, with the shows on RTE, when you have the likes of Winning Street coming off the air, Sayre City stopping production, and you have the Saturday night shows and so on. So there was ourselves on the afternoon on the Today Show current affairs news and talks on a Friday night. And I suppose we were that small bit of normality, particularly for older viewers who had been cocooning, and who a lot of them still are. We were that bit of normality in the afternoon, and we got an extra couple of weeks there. So to be honest, I haven't really been locked down. Actually, when I finish with you now in the next while, that's it. I'm going lowering the blade and I'm going out into the garden, and I might be phoned for about 3 weeks. So
I was lucky to get you when I did.
Like, even with Micheál there, we got the school uniform yesterday and the school books, and he's really excited to go back to school. And the hurlers started, the local team started a few weeks ago as well. So bit by bit, we're getting a bit of normality back, Catherine. And do you know what? I don't think we can ever underestimate normality again.
I know, absolutely. And will you get back to Kerry, do you think, Di?
Sure, I'll go down all right. You know what I mean? The only thing about it, no, Catherine, we'd have to go eat and toasted sandwiches with every 2 pints we have. So, cheers, I'd be bigger coming home than I was going down.
Great to catch up with you as always, and people can follow the RTE Virtual Fla with the hashtag RTE Virtual Fla, and Fla 2020 airs each night at 9:30 p.m. on TG Cahir and RTE Player. Go on, turn off that phone, you.
Good luck, Catherine. God bless all of you.
Great to hear some travel music. Lovely to catch up with Dahi as well. And I thought, you know, chatting to my sailing family sitting across the table, I couldn't be more inspired. I now couldn't be more inspired. The man sitting across from me, who is Darren Geraghty, and he basically is in to tell us all about cocktails, because we decided, it being Friday, tonight you might be at home unwinding, and we're going to talk cocktails. So if it's a refreshing mojito or an after dinner drink, whatever you're into yourself, mixologist. Is that your title? A mixologist?
You can call me whatever you want, Catherine.
It's Darren Geraghty. I keep wanting to say Darren Garrahy.
No, Darren Geraghty.
Yeah, no. So listen, you are looking after the cocktails in Siam Thai.
I am.
And how has everything been up there? When did you guys open again, and how is it all going?
We opened again when the government gave us the all clear. So yep. 29th of June.
Yeah.
So it had been closed from March 16th, I believe. We closed before the actual government shutdown, and it'd been closed all the way through.
Okay. So I'd say delighted, like, having just to get back open again, like, get the doors open again.
It's great going for walks and stuff, but you need some sanity with work. And
I've known you a long time. You've made a cocktail or two for me in the past.
I have.
So what are you going to do now today? Like, just cocktails that can be easy for people, because I think they can be, people find them overwhelming or think they're complicated, and they don't need to be as complicated as they are.
No. So the simple thing is, you don't need all this fancy equipment. It is for the bartenders. People that want to invest in small things, like a shaker is great, a measure.
Yeah.
You go to like a kitchen store, you can get like a little OXO measure. It has like 5 mils to 60 mils, so you can measure out. What people kind of mess up with home cocktails is recipes. You need to follow a recipe. Mm. The old jigger hand where you just throwing a bit more vodka or a bit more rum
or too much lemon juice, yeah, and it just ruins everything.
Balance. That's why people go to cocktail bars, because the drinks are coming out. They're balanced. They're tasty. They're sweet. They're sour. It's all about the flavours.
Yeah.
It's great doing something at home and you throw it all into a glass and go, oh, it's a cocktail. You go, oh, don't like that. I'd rather have one in a bar.
Mm.
But you can do it at home once you have a measured hand and you follow a recipe. Okay. And you don't need all the fancy equipment.
I also think it's really important to figure out what you like and what you don't like. Like, I know I'm more of a sour, bittery, Angostine bitters. I don't like the really
You've never
sweet.
Liked sweet drinks. No,
no. No.
So everyone has, again, if you balance a drink and it's sweet, sour.
Yeah.
If you like something a little bit more sourer, like...
I like the word sourer.
Sourer.
Yeah.
Like my fiance, she doesn't like sweet drinks.
Yeah.
So if we make a drink for her, we always add extra lime.
Mm.
And I know how much lime to still have a balanced drink, but add in a little bit more. But again, it's all balanced.
Okay, so let's talk cocktails. What one are we going to go with first?
Do you want to go with the non-alcoholic? We get that out of the way?
Let's get it out of the way, yeah.
Well, no. Like, listen... Everyone is allowed a drink. And
yep.
One of the drinks for, I was thinking of you when I was making this, is a lemonade, a homemade lemonade. So we've got fresh lemon juice, lime juice, orange juice, and then a sugar syrup. Again, people get daunted by when they see recipes that say sugar syrup.
And okay. And Neil is going to come in there just so we can adhere to social distancing.
Individually papered straws.
Okay.
And... Yeah.
Tell us again, just give us the, what is, because we can make our own sugar syrup.
Sugar syrup is literally 1 cup of sugar.
Yep.
1 cup of boiling water.
Yeah.
And it's white granulated sugar is usually the easiest. And you stir it down until it's clarified, allow it to cool, pull it in a bottle and refrigerate it. So this is very fresh. Now you can do flavored.
Oh, love that.
So that we make, that's one of our signature drinks in Siam. So it's a Siam lemonade. We use a jasmine tea syrup. So imagine making a cup of tea, but then add the sugar.
Okay, let's move on swiftly to the alcoholic ones.
Yep. So we got a mojito. So our mojito is our fresh lime, our fresh mint, a little bit of lemon juice I use because adding an extra level of sharpness. Rum, I use Bacardi 4-year-old, a good age rum. You get it in the supermarket again. You don't have to go buying fancy
rums.
Something nice. And then
a mojito is a real favourite for people, isn't it? Yeah.
Then other people say, oh, we can't do crushed ice at home. All you need is a tea towel and a rolling pin. And the rolling pin acts as your muddler, and you can also give the owl ice a slap in the tea towel and you can make your crushed ice.
My thing again is sometimes I find a mojito can be too sweet. Yeah. Was that too much, just with too much sugar? Yeah.
How's that?
I haven't tasted it yet. Oh, that's beautiful.
Sweet, sour. It's
perfect.
A balance between enough citrus and enough sugar to make a long drink. And then you're adding in the rum and then the mint for the freshness.
Okay.
It's all about balance. Recipes.
And I see there you've got a little strainer. It's again, you were shaking the cocktail there.
Well, that's a shaker. One shaker at home.
If somebody doesn't have a shaker, we had done it before where we had two glasses, one glass inside the other.
A pint glass and a pint glass. Yeah. I've made a shaker at home. I was doing a demonstration to someone that said he had no equipment. It was a coffee tin. You know, plastic lid off a coffee tin and then the metal base.
Yeah.
And you put it on, you shake it. Or, you know, if you have like a NutriBullet or nutrition shaker, you can use that as a shaker because it has a lid, you know, with the little pop-up so you can sip out of it.
Yeah.
That acts as a shaker. And then a tea strainer. That's just a tea strainer.
So it's, and really it is then about people looking up the recipes and sticking exactly to the recipes.
Yeah.
I remember the other thing that I learned from you as well is the amount of, you're really particular about the limes and the lemons. You get 8 segments out of a lime, is that right? Is that right?
It's precision. Again, you know when you're cooking and you're said to use a clove of garlic?
Yeah.
Or a pinch of salt or a pinch of pepper.
See, my thing is that I put in 3 cloves of garlic.
Okay. But see, this is the thing. If you know how to make a base drink, you're going with the lemonade again. That's a whiskey sour. So we have a whiskey sour now. Again, another staple. So we got a rum, we got a whiskey. So because you like the citrus, we got our lemon lime, our sugar, bitters, and then whiskey. So all the recipes that I've kind of created have a similar kind of, they have a base spirit, they have some citrus, there's some sugar. So you can make sugar and you can batch up some citrus, get like a, you know, a juicer.
Yeah.
And you can juice up some lemons, some limes. And then if you're having a party, all your friends come in and everyone has a cocktail.
Okay, I'm just going to go through your whiskey sour before I taste it. So it's Tullamore Dew, 50 mils. Lemon and lime juice, 25 mils. Sugar syrup, which is basically what you just said, sugar and boiling water.
Cup sugar, 1 cup water.
One whole egg white.
Yeah.
3 dashes of Angostura bitters. Add it all to the shaker, dry shake it, add the ice afterwards. Why do you do that?
Dry shake. So, you know if you're whisking an egg white, so it fluffs. So if you dry shake it, so it's literally shaking with no ice, it causes it to buoyant and to expand. So when you shake it with ice, it doesn't lose that frothy head. So you see how it has that lovely white frothy head?
Delicious.
So when you go to a bar, we call it when it's serving a drink, when it's smiling.
Okay.
So you dry shake, then hard shake.
Okay.
So it gives you the froth.
It's always great to see you, but it's even greater to see you this afternoon. thank you so much for coming in to me. And anyone who wants, because you have represented Ireland as well, like you are the man who knows his thing when it comes to cocktails. So people can follow you at D Cocktail Guy, and that's just the letter D Cocktail Guy.
D Cocktail Guy,
And Siam Thai is open for business.
It is.
Will be up for a whiskey sour at some 100%. Point in the coming weeks.
No
Darren,
worries.
Darren, nice chat.
Thanks for having us.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Alton Conlon is back in studio with me. Thanks for hanging around.
No problem.
You played a song from your new album, There's a Waltz. But you're going to do a cover for us now. Tell us quickly what the cover is.
It's a Van Morrison song called Bulbs. And I'm doing this as part of a Hot Press tribute to him for his 75th birthday. There's 75 Irish musicians cover any songs.
I love that. It's such a great, just such a great concept. Well, listen, over to you. Take it away.
Let's do it. I'm kicking off from center field. Question of being down for the game. A one-shot deal don't matter, and the other one's the same.
Oh, my friend, I see you. I want you to come true. And she's standing in the shadows where the street lights all turn blue. She's leaving for an American, a suitcase in her hand. I said her brothers and her sisters are all on Atlantic sand. She's screaming through the alleyway. I hear the lonely cry, why can't you? And her batteries are corroded, and 100-watt bulb just blew. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. She used to hang out at Miss Lucy's. Every weekend we'd get loose. It was a straight clear case of having, oh, taking too much juice. It was outside, it was outside. Just the nature of that person. Oh, but all you gotta remember is, after all, it's none of your business. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Screaming through the alleyway, I hear the lonely cry, why can't you? And her batteries are corroding, and 100-watt bulb just blew. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Oh yeah. Da 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 da.
Ah, fabulous. Ulton Conlon, thank you so much. That is all from us today. I'll be back on the telly on Sunday night at 6:30 with No Place Like Home, and Mary Wilson is next on Drive Time. Have a fab weekend, everybody.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RT Radio 1.